Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Godawari Power and Ispat Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Lahoti from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aditya. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Q1 FY25 conference call of Godawari Power. From the management side, we have with us today Mr. Abhishek Agrawal, Executive Director, Mr. Dinesh Gandhi, Executive Director, and Mr. Sanjay Bothra, CFO. I will now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Amit. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Godawari Power and Ispat Limited to discuss Q1 FY25 earnings results. Our financial results, press release, and earnings presentation is available on the website of the stock exchanges as well as the company. I believe you had a chance to review the same. I will take you through the results post which we will have a question-and-answer session. I'm delighted to announce that GPIL has delivered a strong performance in Q1 FY25, marking a great beginning to the new financial year as we celebrate 25 years of our journey. The profitability increased significantly, mainly due to cost reduction benefit on account of debottlenecking CapEx done in earlier years and commissioning of iron sponge iron steel billet capacities, etc. Coming on the operational performance for Q1 FY25, I'm delighted to share that the company is on track to achieve the volume guidance given at the beginning of the year. The achievement of production volume is available in our presentation. Production volume across divisions were higher on YOY basis. Captive iron ore production was higher by 3% YOY, lower 9% quarter-on-quarter. Production volume of iron ore pellet was higher by 24% YOY, 3% quarter-on-quarter. Blended production volume of other iron and steel production was higher by 5%, decreased 4% quarter-on-quarter. Captive power generation increased by 52% YOY, whereas the same increased 11% quarter-on-quarter. In view of the increased production volume, sales volume numbers were higher across divisions. Sale of pellet increased by 49% YOY, 9% lower quarter-on-quarter. Sale of other iron and steel products was higher by 4%, 9% quarter-on-quarter. The realization of iron ore pellet increased by 3% and 4% respectively on YOY and quarter-on-quarter basis to 10,500 rupees a ton. Realization for finished steel products decreased in the range of 5%-6% on YOY and increased 7%-8% quarter-on-quarter basis. Coming on the consolidated financial performance, revenue from operations net of trading sales increased by 12% to 1,342 crore on YOY basis due to increased production volume and realization of pellet. Quarter-on-quarter revenue declined due to reduced sales volume resulting from plant maintenance shutdown of steel melting shop and MS rounds. EBITDA increased by 33% YOY and 24% quarter-on-quarter basis to 408 crore. This is primarily due to higher volumes as well as cost savings and operating leverage on account of debottlenecking done by the company in the last 2 years. EBITDA margin increased significantly to 30% as compared to 23% in Q1 FY24. PAT increased 24% and 31% YOY and quarter-on-quarter basis to 487 crore. GPIL has a healthy balance sheet with net balance as of 30th June was 1,261 crore. Update on the CapEx plan and other strategic matters. As you are all aware, the company has taken ambitious growth plans by nearly doubling the iron ore mining and pellet capacities and setting up an integrated steel plant with 4x current capacity. In this regard, I would like to update that increasing the mining capacity from 2.35 to 6 million ton, setting up a 6 million ton beneficiation plant. Necessary approvals are expected to be in place by December 24. The project of increasing pellet capacity from 2.7 to 4.7 is running on schedule, and SEM is expected to be commissioned by June 2026. The company has received the permission to establish for additional pellet capacity along with associated facilities. As regards the integrated steel plant of 2 million ton capacity, the public hearing for the same has been completed as reported earlier. Environment impact assessment study is now finalized and being filed with MOEF for final presentation. The process is expected to be completed by December 24. After receipt of environmental approval, consent to set up the steel state pollution authorities, the production, the implementation shall start. After the mining lease for the project land is executed with the state government authorities. The project will take about 36 months from the groundbreaking ceremony. I am happy to announce that modification of rolling mill for manufacture of structural steel has been completed and production of structural steel has started. The structural steel will be partially used for captive manufacturing of galvanized fabricated products for supply to various agencies like Indian Railway, Power Grid, DISCOM, etc. For which company has applied to these agencies for approval as an approved vendor for the supply of galvanized product. Made by the captive iron rolling mill as well as the steel billets from GPIL existing manufacturing facilities. This rolling mill unit is already registered with Indian Railways and other authorities for supply of galvanizing. We were earlier procuring the structural steel from the market and supplying it. Now with our captive steel billet as well as the rolled product, it will be supplied, which will be, substantially, cost and value accretive. The strip mill, we are also commissioning a strip mill along with this rolling mill with a separate line, and that is expected to be commissioned by September. After that, our ARW price grid will source the strips from the captive unit. Coming on the update on solar projects, 20 megawatt captive solar power plant meeting the power requirement of the rolling mill and fabrication division has been completed and synchronized with the grid. Further, GPL has planned to set up an additional 70 megawatt solar power project, to meet the power requirement of the upcoming pellet plant, which we expect to commission by Q1 FY26, coinciding with the commissioning of pellet plant. For this project, the company is in process of acquiring the land for the same. GPIL has been working towards the net zero carbon emission, has now laid down a clear target of becoming net zero emission by 2050. Last 2 years, company is focusing on increased power requirement through captive solar projects, which has resulted in carbon reduction from 2.75 ton CO2 per ton of steel in FY22 to 2.43 ton in Q1 FY25. Further, company is initiating various energy efficient and decarbonization projects like focus on energy efficient and R&D projects to cut on CO2 emission by 9% by switching the fuel in the new pellet plant from coal gas to natural gas, and also utilizing the waste gases of pellet plant and other units to generate additional power. The board has approved an investment of 75 crores for this project, energy efficiency project, which will generate an additional power of 11 megawatt without requiring any additional fuel. The project expected payback for this project is about 2 years with a cost saving of 38 crores per annum. And this is expected to result in additional carbon reduction intensity by 2,59,415 tons. As a part of the simplification group simplification structure, the company has further increased its stake in Aarok Ferroalloys from 78% to 88.34%. This is direct stake, and 97.62% along with the stake held to Hira Ferroalloys Limited. GPIL has always attempted to reward its shareholders through consistent dividend payment, buyback, bonus, split of shares, etc. Following the same thought process, the company has recently completed buyback of 21.5 lakh shares at a price of 1,400 per share in July 24. The board has further approved a special dividend of 25% on face value of rupees 5 each on the occasion of 25th anniversary of GPI will fall on 21st of September 2024. The board has further approved the split of equity shares from face value of rupees 5 to rupees 1 each. Coming on the market outlook, on international front, global iron ore prices have dropped to around $100 per ton from high of 144 seen in 2024 January. Property sector in China continues to weigh on the steel sector and sentiment. However, based on the industry reports, the bone iron ore market remains in deficit for FY24 and should help stabilize the prices around current level. World Steel Association is forecasting steel demand to grow by 1.7% to 1793 million tons in 2024 and another 1.2 million tons to 1815 million tons in 2025, despite China's steel demand plateauing. Iron ore supply is largely stable in 2025. Rio Tinto project in Guinea is expected to start in December 25. Depending on the ramp-up, some surplus can happen in 2026. On domestic front, iron ore prices, NMDC Fe64, have seen a significant increase to $4,610 per ton from 3,616 in January 23. The NMDC has reduced the prices yesterday. The prices have recovered well from the low seen post imposition of export duty. On the other hand, pellet prices touched a high of 11,000 during the year in June 2012, has dropped currently to around 9,000 ton, mirroring the global prices. India remained one of the bright spots globally for steel demand. WSA forecasts India's steel demand to increase by 8.2% in 24 and 25. 144 million and 156 million ton respectively. WSA predicts India's steel industry will experience significant expansion propelled by sustained growth across all sectors reliant on steel industry, particularly driven by robust infrastructure investment. The current falling domestic steel prices in the recent past is mirroring the impact of increased import from China and heavy monsoon impacting the construction activity. To conclude, I extend my heartfelt thanks to all employees, regulatory authorities, stakeholders for their unwavering support throughout the journey of our company for 25 years. I am also grateful to all shareholders and investors community for their continued support ever since listing of the company in 2006. We look forward to ongoing support from all our stakeholders, coupled with our experienced promoters, management team, and solid balance sheet, operational efficiencies, advancement of captive advantage of captive iron ore mines and ambitious capex plan, we poised for significant growth in years to come. With this, I conclude my opening remarks. We can now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. I have two questions. The first one is essentially on the integrated steel plant and the proposed capacity expansion of 2 million tons. Now, in the past as well, at least, if I recall correctly, 4 years back, we had a similar endeavor to expand, I think at that time, it was 3 million tons capacity. And now this is integrated steel plant that we are talking about. So just wanted to understand the final product configuration of this. You know, what kind of products are you targeting, and for what sector?
Good afternoon. See, on the final product side, currently, so, we are very much looking at flat products, which is HR coil. Since we are already into long products, so we have no intention of getting to long products, so we are focusing on a flat product for the new steel plant of 2 million.
So will these be narrow coils or your typical, you know?
No, this will be narrow coils. This will be, so which we will be able to. So what we're targeting is we should be able to produce, you know, right from 1 mm to thickness, and the width should be 1250 above, you know, so up to, say, 1550, 1650. So the entire range from narrow as well as to, you know, the wider ones.
In this present configuration that you have thought about, you are stopping at narrow coil. There is no intent to go into.
No, there is no narrow coil. There is no narrow coil thought. We are focusing on, you know, the wider strip, which is used for all the applications, you know, automobile and, you know, piping, everything else.
Okay. And do we also want to go further downstream by putting cold roll coil, let us say, at some point in time, or galvanized?
Yes. So of course, so, in the current environment, permission which we have applied, so we have included, you know, the downward stream as well, which is the cold roll and, you know, the further processing. But at this stage, we will stop at, you know, making hot HRC, and going forward, we will start, you know, investing in downward technologies. That's all I get.
Typically blast for this route?
See, at the moment, it, you know, so, because of economics, you know, of the location and, you know, since natural gas is imported into India, so a gas-based GRI, you know, commercially becomes quite challenging to, you know, achieve the desired numbers. So at the moment, it's going to be blast furnace. But of course, we will be, you know, closely working with other industries to see how can we, you know, replace coke with other technologies going forward.
Okay, wonderful. The second question is on galvanized fabricated products. Pretty interesting product, if I look at it. But you know,
Yeah.
The sales volume, we have seen that it declined YoY and QoQ as well. I mean, and then we also saw that among all your products, QoQ realization for this product also declined, though it's a premium product. So just wanted to understand that whether it was only because of elections or there is some other thing that is also happening.
So there were two, three factors, you know, for the lower volume. One was, of course, you know, the state election, and right next there was central election. So that was one part of it. But you know, apart from that, so there also, and you know, a small mishappening, you know, there was a fire incident in one of the zinc tanks, because of which, you know, entire one line was down. You know, luckily there was no harm, but still it took time to come back to online. So that's another reason. It was a small incident. And third was, you know, since we are still buying billets from the market and, you know, acting more as a conversion agent, now with this commissioning of mill, the margins will go up substantially, and that will also help to, you know, increase the volumes. So there are two, three factors, you know, to, you know, for us, volumes to go down this quarter.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Got it. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my first question pertains to the operating performance. While the volume and realization was down, our operating performance has improved largely on the other expenditures. So what are the items which are different from the previous on a QoQ basis?
Power. See,
mainly on the power cost.
Yeah, mainly on power cost. Because the commission, our power generation is higher by 52%, the solar capacity which is commissioned in the last year, new turbine, everything is adding to the operating efficiency.
No, but also there is.
In a one go.
There is one more thing, which is adding to that difference in the operating cost is, so last quarter, you know, there was a decent amount of volume of export, you know, of pellets out of India. So, the way accounting method is, you know, so for in case of exports, so the Radiation, you know, comes at the selling price, but entire cost to deliver to that port, you know, comes in the operating cost. So that is why there's a difference also in the operating cost for this quarter compared to last quarter. Because this quarter there were no export volumes of pellet.
Understood. So even considering that, we should assume that the larger part of the operating cost decline would be sustainable because majority came from the power side and only few from the...
Yes, definitely. So going forward with the current, you know, coal dynamics and, you know, with our completion of our, you know, backward projects in terms of power, we think we can maintain this operating cost going forward as well.
Understood, sir. So my second question pertains to our growth capex. If I just look at this slide 9 of your presentation, our crushing and beneficiation plant was supposed to take 15 months from the environmental clearance, while our pellet and iron ore mining probably would come earlier. So is that we can assume that we would, for the pellet, we would support pellet from the outside iron ore sales or alternatively look at it, our high-grade pellet sales would decline for a few quarters significantly? How should we...
I think there is probably, you know, probably little confusion understanding. So my current mining plus my expansion and the beneficiation in the mine and my pellet plant, all this will come into operations parallelly in sync with each other. So because the beneficiation plant we're putting up in the mine is mainly for beneficiating the BMQ, which is, you know, the lower quality iron ore. But apart from that, we'll be able to raise the production, you know, of our iron ore grade, which is, you know, high grade. So that will, you know, keep supplying to my pellet plant. So if everything goes well, we are confident we will not be in a position to buy iron ore from the market next, which is for FY26.
Understood. Currently, we are buying that Boria T.
We are currently after once since we have shut our you know, one of our mines last year. So we are currently buying about 20-25% of the requirement from the market.
Understood. And sir, my third question pertains to our JVs. If you look at that, we have three JVs shareholding between 30-33%. So do we have the, does that JV have the option for us to buy out our stake in those JV in future point of time we would, something similar to what we have done 2 years back in the consolidation of the group. So just wanted to understand, is there an option for us to buy out those JVs and who are the partners there?
You know, because I think you are talking about Raipur Infrastructure and Satpurjit Captive Coal Mine.
Yes.
Satpurjit Ispat Bhumi. Now, Raipur Infrastructure, you know, there are three partners, Sharda Energy, Godavari Power, and there is a company called Vanda Global. We are, you know, in the process of winding up this company or distributing whatever surplus funds are there. This JV is not operating. It's a non-operational company and we are in process of winding it up. As regards Satpurjit Captive Coal Mining, similar process is being updated, except that in the anticipation of recovery of some money, we are holding on to this company. Otherwise, this is also non-operating company. And Satpurjit Ispat Bhumi is a no-profit organization. This is a JV between the industry, you know, operating in that industrial area, Siltara industrial area, and government of Satpurjit. And it's a non-profit organization. It is for the management of the industrial area. So all these companies are not contributing anything to the profitability or revenues, etc. So two will get bought out, one will continue to stay in the way it is there.
Understood, sir. So just one last question. I'm slightly surprised with the kind of the realization fall, basically, which we have experienced, because couple of our peers have seen the realization gain on the sequential basis. So just wanted to understand that is there any timing difference what we are experiencing right now, because some of the quantity probably was pre-booked and we couldn't enjoy the higher prices which had during April, May, or something else is there. And secondly, how should we look at the realization in 2Q and the cost of production in 2Q?
So, because you are talking about quarter-on-quarter realization or year-on-year?
Yes, sir. 4Q versus 1Q. So, 1Q realization for sponge, everything was 5% down. But if I just look at the cement prices or the rebar or a couple of your peer group who operates in the similar vicinity, they have shown QOQ realization improvement. So that was a surprise that why it hasn't flown to us.
See, especially in steel billet and MN round, there's a production volume degrowth. And maybe, you know, it was a falling trend. So there could be, you know, this difference is, would be because of the timing of the production fall and, you know, maintenance shutdown. It could be one, because sponge iron QOQ realization was higher by 16%. Sponge iron realization, QOQ realization across division is higher, except galvanized fabricated product. So, you know, iron ore pellet, this is QOQ 4%, sponge iron 7%, steel billet 7%, etc. round 7%. So which number you are, you know,
YOY
number you are referring to?
No, I am referring to the quarter on quarter number, 4Q versus 1Q. We had an on an average 4 to 5% fall in the realization.
This is YOY, not quarter on quarter.
Because YOY, exactly.
That is YOY, not quarter on quarter.
So my question.
Numbers in presentation again, and we can discuss offline also if required. Okay.
Fine, then I'll call you offline. That's large. And how should we look at the realization spot basis versus and cost spot basis versus what we have experienced in the 1Q FY25?
See, definitely end of Q1 only is in the question is down basically in the whole another Q calls. And then continue to do the prices have essentially gone down the market. We still see, you know, because of additional capacity of DRI in Chhattisgarh region, there will be a lot of, you know, iron prices going forward. And so the rising compared to previous season, we must, and we can expect, a Q1 realization if it continues to, you know, sustain.
Understood, sir. Thank you for answering my question, and I'll come back on the queue if I have further questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Velekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on the iron ore mining expansion side. So as you said that we are expecting an approval from December 24. So how much ramp up we expect in Q4 and any color if you want to put on FY26? Usually how much time it takes to ramp up that mine?
It's the guidance, you know, we have given 3 million that is basis, you know, we have, you know, assumed that there will be, you know, there will be some production of additional capacity in Q4 of this financial year. Because the current mining capacity is 2.35, 2.4. So expect, you know, we should be able to achieve 3 million, you know, if the approvals are in place by end of Q3. And from FY26, we should be able to ramp up the capacity at a much faster speed and, you know, coincide with our requirement of the pellet plant.
Okay, understood. And just one follow-up on the cold rolling and further downstream assets for your steel plant of 2 million ton. So our current capex of 6,000 crores, is it does it include CRM or it is only...
No. It is, so as I mentioned earlier, sir, for cold oil, there will be no downstream products in the first phase. And but we will have approvals, you know, in the same permissions. So, but going forward, we will start investing in downstream as well. But the first stage is going to be going downstream.
Okay, understood. And last question is, means if we are seeing the weakness in international iron ore prices, and currently they are hovering near $100 per ton, and there were reports that Simandou iron ore mine is also expected to come in future, which will increase the supply of iron ore in global markets. So from that perspective, how do you see the pellet prices, which for our pellet prices especially, the price trend for future?
When it comes to Godavari per se, you know, from already, you know, past few months, there's a difference between, you know, the domestic pricing for Godavari and export market for Godavari, because of the actual steel capacity, on the DRC capacity, which people have built up in Chhattisgarh, there has been no addition of, you know, backward integration in terms of pellet supply or additional iron ore, you know. The sources have been the same, which is NMDC, you know, OMCC and the pellet makers. So we feel to be short of iron ore in this area, the pellet prices will be on the higher side, irrespective of the domestic, of the international market. For today's example also, there's a delta of $20 more by selling in domestic compared to the international market. So we are not in the export market at all from last 3 months. And going forward, we don't think so. We'll be in a position to, you know, even think of export. Domestic is quite strong right now in terms of iron ore.
Understood, sir. Thanks for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may ask 2 questions per participants. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jatin from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
But if you look on the volumes on the sequential basis down, so is it just because of the fire incidents or the incidents that have happened during the last quarter which has impacted the overall volume, or how someone look at
voice is not clear.
Hello Jatin sir, I request you to use your handset while speaking.
So it's audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, just wanted to understand the key reason behind the sequential decline in the overall production volume, because once you, at the one and you in the opening remarks, you indicated that because of the debottlenecking, the sponge and the billet, there was a benefit during the quarter. But if you look on the overall volume, we had seen a decline. So what was the reason behind that?
The reason was, we plan an annual shutdown for the entire year basis, you know, monsoon and, you know, depending on the requirement of the project. For example, when we re-volunteer, we need to shut down a few units. So quarter one, for our cheese, there was a flash shutdown for 20 days. Anyway, the volume was around 6%, but everything is up and running. Q2, you will see 3%.
Okay. And that's
not in the pocket of the
So in terms of the operating efficiencies, the benefit of the power that we have seen in the last quarter, that will now continue for the remaining
definitely
part of the year.
Yeah.
And for last question, I mean, we have seen the delays in getting approval, and as per our latest update, we expect the mining approval and integrated plant approval to receive by December 24. So, I mean, is there any further requirement by the center or by the states in terms of giving the approval that can be expected, because
the process is so long, right? First you have to go to MOE, get the EC from there, and then you know, back to the state board. So the process is such, you know, with so many steps, and you know, due to 6 months there was election, so you know, things are getting slightly delayed, but which is, you know, we really can't, we are trying our best to max, you know, to move as fast as possible. So we are confident he has committed by Q3 we should have the approvals in place, you know.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your question to 2 per participants. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Manav from Yes Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity, and also congratulations on the strong set of numbers. So, one question I wanted to know, would you be able to quantify the average imported coal cost per ton for the quarter?
You mean Q1?
Yes, Q1.
So, you want the per ton of DRI cost or you want the landing cost of raw material?
From a landed point of view.
Okay, so landed point of view, our average cost in Q1 was about 12,500 rupees. Sorry, 11,000 rupees. 11,500.
And how is it shaping up in Q2 right now?
Q2 is more or less same because usually we do a lot of, you know, planning in terms of, you know, we maintain an inventory of 2 months. Q2 is, you know, looks on the similar levels. There might be a slight increase in Q3 with the current national market, but, you know, demand is weak, so we are confident the market should, you know, pull back. But Q1, Q2 are on the similar lines.
Okay. And so one question, you know, on the realization for me, I don't know if I've missed this. What sort of corrections are we seeing, you know, in terms of billet pricing and long product pricing as of now during the monsoon?
See, as of now, as on 8th of August, so prices are down by almost 10% compared to last quarter. So on absolute number, there was about 44,700. Today, billet is about 39,000. Rifle market.
Okay.
So there's a cash almost 10%.
Sure. I'll join by the clues. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chirag from Neo Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So wanted to understand that traditionally you have been a long steel producer. So what was the real incentive for you to, you know, diversify to flats, and how do you plan to compete with the biggies in the in this flat steel production? And what could be a cost of production for HR coils?
See, the reason we want to diversify was see in the long market, you know, there is a huge supply from the secondary market as well, right? People are into wire rods, who are into TNT. So secondary market is quite big in India, which constitutes almost 40% of the entire steel production. And that market is growing, you know. But the secondary steel market cannot, you know, venture in, cannot make a flat product quality material. So that was the reason to, you know, to diversify to flat product, you know, to move away from the competition. And, you know, feel the demand because of the automobile and, you know, with infrastructure growth. We thought getting into flat is much beneficial compared to a long product. And we've also seen the price trend in the last 4 years since COVID. So flat is almost, you know, 4 to 5 rupees higher in terms of realization compared to a long product. Of primary players only. Say a TMT is 50,000, so HR coil will go 55,000 rupees. So that's also one of the reasons, you know, we ventured into flat. We want to venture into flat product.
How much will be a cost of production for HR coil?
The operating cost is about 2,500 rupees, between 2,000 to 2,500 rupees. But of course, depending on other companies, so it's difficult to decide. But yeah, the operating cost is only about $30.
Okay. And since you're setting up blast furnace, and you know, going forward, there are lots of issues coming up with respect to the pollution coming from the blast furnace and also, do you plan have plans to go towards electric arc furnace, or will you still stick with the blast furnace route?
See, it's very, very difficult to comment. Right now, we want to, you know, have it, I know, of mining and pellets. We don't want to be only, you know, pellet player. It's better to, you know, hedge your iron ore bet. So, you know, we want to, you know, use that iron ore premium, you know, the value we have, and make, you know, value-added products. So that is the reason, and because of import of natural gas, currently the blast furnace route is viable, you know, commercially. Importing gas and making steel through DRI route, it's quite expensive at the moment because of import of natural gas in India. So we see Middle East for reason. Middle East has cheap gas, but they don't have iron ore. So they import iron ore, but they have their own gas. So it's all about location dynamics. So currently we will proceed with the blast furnace only. And parallelly, we'll explore, you know, with other industries in terms of carbon capture, hydrogen, and other technologies available, you know, all over the world.
Okay, thanks. I will join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Congrats on good set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. First, on the integrated steel. So, what is the asset turnover that we're expecting from this plant based on the normalized NSRs?
So, sorry, come again, please.
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yeah, can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, what is the asset turn for the integrated steel plant based on the normalized NSRs?
No, your voice is not clear.
I'll take up.
Yeah, please.
You're asking about the asset turnover. So, you know, if you set up a 2 million ton capacity and just, for example, take a selling price of 50,000 rupees a ton, it comes to about 10,000 crore turnover. And capex is 6,000 crore based on our estimate. So, you know, it is more than 1.3, 1.4 times.
Okay, got it. And is this expected to come phase-wise, or we are expect this entire capacity of 2 million ton will be online by end of FY28?
No, so it's going to come, everything is going to come together because it's an integrated steel capacity. So everything will be coming up together.
Okay. And just one more thing on coal consumption cost. So what was the coal consumption cost per ton in Q1? And what is the trend in the current quarter?
Coal consumption in terms of pricing or in terms of specific consumption?
No, in terms of the consumption cost for your company.
So my coal cost, as I mentioned earlier, the coal prices domestically have drastically reduced, from second half of Q1 and continues to. So feel our coal cost will be slightly lower compared to Q1 because our imported coal cost almost remain the same, flat. So we can see a slight reduction in the coal cost for Q2.
Okay, can you quantify like how much would that be? Maybe in per.
Monthly we consume about a lakh ton monthly, about 90,000 to a lakh ton on monthly basis in different units. So out of 50% is imported coal, which will remain flat. Another 50% is domestic, there will be a reduction in that cost.
Understood. Okay, I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, please use your handsets while asking a question. Our next question is from the line of Chintan Patel from Abhyans Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, currently we have a captive power plant around 236 megawatt, which can save up to 200 crore power cost. And we are adding another 70 megawatt on a solar side and 10-11 megawatt on a waste gas side. So put to all together, what would be cost save on a power side?
See, currently, there is a slight different understanding. Our current solar capacity stands at about 145 megawatt, which is already operational. And
now it is 165. Now,
965, yeah, and another 70 will be in pipeline. So that will make it to 235, 240. And on the captive side, so we have about 28 megawatts of biomass, then we have 42 megawatts of gas base, and the remaining is coal base. So if you want to know that average power cost, till yet, so today, average power cost, put with everything, is about 3.5 rupees.
Okay.
Yeah. And once the addition of, the project is taken up of 10 megawatts and further solar, it will further come down going forward.
So how much it will come down?
We expect to be about something about 3.1 rupees going forward once everything is up and about.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rakesh Roy from Boring AMC's Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Morning, sir. So the first question is regarding the realization side. Sir, our pellet realization increase year on year and quarter. 3-4%, sir. Right? So this is due to higher grade period in this quarter or just any other reason, sir?
No. So see, our volume of the charges of high grade pellets and the normal pellets remain the same throughout the year. But in Q1 especially, since there was a increase in steel prices, plus as I mentioned, due to a shortage of iron ore in the domestic market, especially in this Chhattisgarh region, the prices were on the upside compared to last quarter. And Q2 also, it remains on similar levels.
Okay, sir. And sir, my last question, sir, regarding, sir, yesterday, sir, NMDC reduced iron ore prices. This will impact on our future realization in Q2 or Q3, sir?
It's very difficult to comment because, usually we have an order book of, say, anything between 30 to 45 days. Plus, our Hage pellets, are itself, it's a trash premium. So I don't think so NMDC pricing, really reflects on our pellet pricing. Because we have few customers who really, demand our pellets because of the quality in it. I think we should be able to achieve the current realization, you know, in of Q1.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Our next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yoga Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So we have two mines and one of the mine, Boria Tibu mine, is currently unoperational. So when could we expect commercial production from this facility?
As we mentioned last time as well, so, you know, we are working on installing a beneficiation plant inside the mine and, you know, extract and start the mine eventually. Because today, bringing the quality of ore we are getting, it's not commercially viable. So we are working on the beneficiation plant. We have started working on the desired approvals. So fully, I think by once a new steel plant, which gets commissioned in, say, FY28 or FY29, whatever, we are trying to coincide the production of the mine with that. So you can say that 3 years from now on, the mine should be operational with beneficiation.
So we would be sending raw material from this mine to our steel plant?
No. So yeah, exactly. So we will be beneficiating. We'll be, you know, making a grade which is technically usable. And then we'll be transferring to our new steel plant. That's the whole plan. That's the whole idea.
Okay. Understood. And my other, I have one basic question. So, is there any extra amount of royalty that the miners have to pay if they sell the ore in open market without any value addition?
See, for miners like companies like us, which have mines which were allotted, you know, as per the Mining Act. So the Mining Act policy says a captive mine can sell 50% of their iron ore in the market. But then they have to pay additional royalty of 150%. Basically, it means royalty on royalty, which comes to about additional, you know, 150%. So, if you've got today's royalty structure, I will have to pay 1,000 rupees more as a royalty to the government if I want to sell my iron ore in the market.
Okay. And I have another basic question. So, I wanted to understand why, like, Tata Steel and JSW Steels are bidding 100% plus premium for captive mines. Don't they get such kind of rates from open market by procuring iron ore from open market? So why are they bidding 100% plus premium?
To be very honest, you know, it's very difficult to really comment, you know, about my peer, you know, what strategy they have in mind, you know, what is the thought process. You know, it won't be right for me, you know, my to pass any comment on that because it's their operations, their strategy. So, you know, it's better if you can probably, you know, get in touch with them only. I would not like to comment on that.
Yeah, understood. Okay. I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Vaibhav Dubey from Big Mint. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for the figures. Sir, as we know that Godavari produces two grades currently, Fe63 grade pellet and Fe66 grade pellet. So may I know the ratio of the production of high grade and low grade, and is it viable for exports? Are we considering any chance for the exports?
So the ratio is 1/3, 2/3. So produce about 33% 63 pellet, and remaining is high grade pellet, so 66.
Okay.
And in terms of export, no, we are not exploring any export opportunity. As I've been mentioning again and again, domestic market is quite strong and we are happy to sell everything domestic because the realization is much better compared to export right now.
One more question, another. As we have witnessed that capacity expansion of pellet plant is undergoing, but we have also witnessed in the report that production guidance has been lowered from 2.6 to 2.4. Sir, any reason behind this, lowering the production guidance?
There is an annual shutdown planned, you know, for one of the two plants, which will take about, you know, 50 days of operation. That happens every, you know, 4 to 5 years in cycle. So that is why we have lowered the guidance in this financial year from 2.6 to 2.45. That is the
And then can we expect this shutdown?
Okay, the shutdown is already undergoing, you know, so it was just planned for Q2. Shutdown is already going, and the plant will be in operation in next couple of weeks. But the full year guidance remains the same, which is 2.45. Yeah, we will achieve that.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aman from Yugmenta Asset Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Abhishek. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry for repeating that question. So, can you highlight your strategy on the structural steel, like how big it can be, and are we really testing the waters, or what is the outlook on the same going forward? Like, what can be the potential of the same? And given that we are coming up with the integrated steel plant, so just wanted a detailed thing on the strategy for the structural steel.
See, to be honest, with the kind of capacities which are coming up, you know, especially by the bigger players, you know, when they talk about 50 million, 40 million, you know, by 2030, 2035. So it is kind of scary, you know, to probably enter that market. But the advantage we have, which don't have, is, you know, is our iron ore mines, which are at zero premium. So the only rationale behind, you know, going with this investment is to hedge our iron ore bets. We don't want to be completely, you know, exposed to iron ore pellets, because a lot of capacities of pellets are also coming up in India. For example, Lloyd itself is, you know, about to, has declared about 12 million tons, you know, in next 5 years. So to hedge our iron ore bets, we want to, you know, make value added. And, you know, of course, there is competition in everything, and there will be competition in everything going forward as well. Whether we sell iron ore pellets or we sell, you know.
No, I think this question is on the structural steel. Am I right?
You're talking about RS Path, you're talking about the new integrated steel plant of 2 million.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to know the strategy about the structural steel, the rolling mill which we have modified.
So, oh, sorry. My apologies. I didn't understand the question correctly. So on the substitute side, you know, we were already into galvanizing. So currently we were buying the raw material from the market, galvanizing it and supplying to, you know, railways, transmission towers and all those projects. So now with the backward integration by modifying the rolling mill, our EBITDA margins will go up. Our volumes will go up because now our dependency on the raw material side will drastically go down. Plus, the rolling mill design such, we will be able to produce the desired billets in Godavari itself. It's a complete backward to forward integration where, you know, right from billets to finished steel will be done in the same roof. And eventually the volume will go up and it will add to our margins. As simple as that.
So,
that is the rationale behind it.
To add on that, prior to this thing, prior to this modification of rolling mill, we were acquiring the billets from outside, right? The desired billets?
Yes. So the desired billets, some were being produced from Godavari, but not the entire, you know, requirement. Rest were being procured from the market.
Okay, okay. And also, Abhishek, can you throw some light on the ferroalloy market currently, given that the prices are down, the manganese ore prices have increased, and there was some disturbance on the Australian mining fund, but this might have restored, I feel. So, what is your outlook on the ferroalloy market as a whole going forward, given that the prices have consolidated around the same levels? So, how are we looking at the ferroalloy thing currently?
Okay, so on the, so as you mentioned, that mining effect on, you know, in Australia, which happened, you know, a few years back, Palkaridu mine, then that still continues, and the latest update is the mines will be out of production for the next another 6 months, you know. So we are looking at a production supply from end of Q3 or early of Q4 of our financial year. So that impact is still ongoing. So the prices of high grade manganese ore, which is say 44 mm, is on a very higher side. The current index is about $9, which was 4.5 3 months back. So that impact is still there. See, on the finished steel side, definitely the domestic market is quite weak because the demand of steel is quite weak. So there is pressure on the ferroalloys. But, you know, for us, you know, since we are always exposed to some kind of imports of manganese ore, we are in a healthy position because of the lower prices which we have in the inventory level right now. So as for a company, we are in a decent position, not as bad as the market. But as a whole industry, the market is quite weak. Moil has also increased the price by 40% in last auction. Hopefully, it should reduce going forward. So, but yes, market is quite challenging at the moment.
So even the basically, because the ferroalloy market is basically largely an export market. So So we are trying to say, despite the domestic market is weak, the export markets also have consolidated. The prices have consolidated about 1 lakh rupees term level, right?
No, prices are much below than that. So yeah, because we are into, we make silico manganese, which is quite a commercial grade. So the prices are, you know, I mean, the export market is, you know, below that. So currently it's not viable to explain export. Plus the demand is also quite weak.
Okay, okay. Got it, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mano from Yes Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon once again. So, one question on pellets. You know, we usually attract a premium of rupees 1000 to 1500 rupees per ton on the high grade pellets. I wanted to know if can we expect this number to go up also in the near future if, you know, the demand starts coming in quite strongly for the high grade pellets?
Sorry, can you come again, please? So sorry, it was just starting. Can you please come again?
Yes. So, sir, currently the premium, you know, on the high-grade pellets is between 1,000 to 1,500 rupees a ton.
Right.
I wanted to know if this number can go up as well, you know, if you see strong demand for the high-grade pellets on the market.
Definitely. You know, I would say, you know, we have already achieved, you know, a band of, say, between 1,300 to 1,500 rupees, you know, slowly. And I think the most important part in a pellet is the low cost, you know, which is very important element for making steel through secondary route. So that is, you know, gaining a lot of attraction in the domestic market. So people who are looking to make quality steel, you know, so they are, you know, eventually getting convinced that we have to pay a certain premium to buy this product. So slowly, steadily, we are there. But yeah, the value of a product is going up day by day.
Okay, okay. So just to follow up on that only, once the beneficiation plant comes in, that would, you know, roughly be an additional cost of, can I assume, you know, 250 to 300 rupees a ton for beneficiation of the ore?
See, so the additional plant which you're putting up is for the additional capacity of pellet. So overall at a volume of, say, 4.7 million of pellet going forward, the cost of beneficiation remains the same for ton of pellet. That would increase.
Okay, okay. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So one question I had on the HRC plant, you know. So the HRC plant will be targeting the automotive industry, if I'm correct, right?
See, so it's a binary application, automobile being one of them. So then there are pipe manufacturers. So it's a very wide application. So with the kind of quality we are targeting to produce, we will not be confined to a single market. We want to keep our eggs, you know, for every basket.
Sure, sure. And so, just post the pellet plant expansion, which is coming in Q1 of FY26, and, you know, up till the HRC plant comes online, I just wanted to know what sort of market will GPIL be catering its iron ore pellets to? Will it be within the state of Chhattisgarh, and what sort of, you know, capacities and consumers are coming up over the next year and a half where this market will be open to?
See, Chhattisgarh itself, there will be additional requirement of close to, say, about 6 million of iron ore pellets because of the additional DRI capacity coming up in Chhattisgarh. Because we'll be producing high-grade pellets going forward as well in the new plant. So we will have we'll be able to create a different market who are looking for, you know, quality steel. Exports will always be open, you know. Of course, there's an opportunity. We will definitely start exporting again. Because our pellets are, you know, very well accepted in the outside market as well. So options are open right now. It's difficult to envisage, you know, 1 year from now on. But the options are all open.
Okay, okay, sure. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Velekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity again. So just one color on the recent Supreme Court ruling that the states can levy tax on mineral rights. So from that perspective, what are your thought process? Means, can we expect some demands from the state government going forward?
To be honest, something which would never, you know, any industry would like to. But, you know, we really can't comment because it's a state matter. It's up to the state government. You know, Jharkhand just passed in the assembly to impose a 100 rupees tax on the mineral mine in the state. So we really can't comment. Hopefully nothing is imposed. But if there is an imposition, we have to, you know, comply.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, all participants, for joining to the conference call of Godavari Power & Ispat Limited. We believe that we have adequately addressed all your queries. Should you have any further questions or need additional information, please feel free to reach us out to our investor relations at Go India Advisors. Once again, we sincerely thank you for your active participation and unwavering support. Thank you. Thank you all. With this, we close this call.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Service, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.